You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast. It is The Punt, Dave Kellner, Lee Phelps and David McGovern here for the Euro 2016 qualifiers, the playoff matches over the course of the next few days. First of all, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Derek McGovern. Derek, I know you live for weeks like this.
You know what? It's like all my Christmases have come at once.
We won't bring up the naps from last weekend because you were unfortunate with Spurs just failing to hold on against Arsenal. Didn't go for the kill in that match.
I know. And I could so easily have gone for Palace as well as me nap to beat Liverpool. In fact, I was just telling Lee off air, I had the double Palace and Tottenham on Sunday. So imagine my disgruntlement come Sunday evening.
I can only imagine, Mr. McGovern. And Lee, you came nowhere near landing your nap.
No. I don't want to talk about it.
You need to stop selecting your nap in Manchester City matches.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what? It's funny. I don't know what happened to the naps. I get a bit of a mental block, and then afterwards I listen to the podcast and think, I didn't even fancy that bet. That's not true.
You and a million others.
Let's move on. We're not going to do a nap for these, are we?
No, we don't do a nap on International Week.
I asked Dave what we were doing on this podcast, Derek, and he said, we're going to do the Euro qualifiers. And he went, yeah, Norway. And that's the first game.
It is. Norway versus Hungary is the first game. It's Thursday, 7:45. Norway 10-11 to win the game. The draw 23-10. And Hungary in the betting at 100-30.
Go to Derek first.
Derek, Norway unbeaten at home in their last four games. That's actually their best run since they went 7 unbeaten. That was way back in 2011. They finished third in Group F behind Italy and Croatia. And maybe slightly unfortunate not to qualify automatically, given they were 8 points ahead of Bulgaria, who were in fourth place in that group. They've got quite good home form, and that was the key to their relative success in Group F.
Exactly. Well, that's all you need to know. They almost qualified from a group that included Italy and Croatia. Hungary couldn't qualify from a group that included Northern Ireland and Romania. They finished behind those two. You know, you don't need anything else. You don't need injury news. You need nothing else other than the fact that Norway are almost evens to beat Hungary, whose main man, by the way, is Christian Nemeth, now playing for in America for Sporting Kansas City, not to be confused with their neighbours, ruthless Kansas City. I mean, it's just a nailed-on home win here. Norway have not lost to Hungary in nine previous games they've played, and they've won two and drawn three of their last three home games against Hungary, who haven't scored in those three. So everything points to a Norwegian win. The only thing that doesn't is the fact that I'm going for them. It looks nailed-on.
Yeah, I actually looked at this match, Lee, and I thought the same thing. Norway at 10-11 against Hungary. As Derek mentioned, they couldn't qualify in a group including Northern Ireland. How do you see this one?
Well, I think it's important to think about how these games are going to be played. And the home leg for Hungary, they need to be in it still, don't they? We talk a lot about how two-legged affairs in the Champions League work. And there's no way Hungary are going to go out there to try and to win this game. I think they'll go out there with a game plan to keep it tight and make sure they're in the game when they go back to Budapest. They've not had a bad away record, but then the teams in that group, as you two have alluded to, were so poor. And in fact, they ended up losing in the last away game to Greece 4-3. Unbelievably, Greece have been absolutely shocking. Norway, not done an awful lot wrong. Undefeated in the last four home qualifiers, didn't concede in the last three either, and didn't concede in a friendly in June against Sweden, so they haven't conceded a home goal for four matches now. So I think they're in good form. I think they'll win this game, but I think it'll be tight. I'm looking at Norway to win it and under 2.5 goals. They're kind of the 1-0, 2-0. If you don't want to touch the outrights, you could have a look at the unders and overs goals here. It's pretty skinny though. Under 2.5, 4-9. Well short. Usually, if we get the price like that, we want to go on the over 2.5, just kind of out of spite. The little bit of team news. A couple of the Hungarian players are missing through bookings. There's one thing worth bearing in mind here as well with all these games that we're going to preview. there are a lot of players who are one card away from a ban.
Yes.
If you pick up three in the qualifiers and it extends into the playoffs. So you look at this game, for instance, you've got the likes of Juzak, Elek, Gera and Nemeth all within one booking of a ban. And, you know, they won't want to be missing those players going into the home leg. So I think disciplined performances are worth looking at from the away teams, especially in a game like this. But I'm going to go with the same as Derek. I think it'll be a home win, but a pretty skinny one. Norway in under 2.5.
How hungry become this band? How are we nailing Norway? Making Norway nailed on favourites here. This hungry in what? In the 50s, was it? Mm. They were murdering England. I mean, what are they doing in the Hungarians now? I mean, they're not going to be playing with Xboxes. They have cardboard boxes. I mean, what are they doing, Hungarian people?
Last featured at a World Cup in 1986, Derek.
Jesus Christ.
Semi-finalists in 64 and 72 European Championships as well. And like you say, I mean, 86 is the first World Cup I can remember. But, you know, growing up, it was a proper team, you know. And I remember, like, people, you know, if we had Ron on here now, Ron Atkinson, who used to the podcast, he'd be talking about Hungary like they were still great. It's probably, he can remember them when they were great, can't he?
Well, they haven't even got the excuse of Steve McLaren managing them. I don't understand it.
I don't think Norway are absolutely nailed on. I think the draw is a player here.
Do you think so?
I do think
the draw Norway is stick on.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. I just think Hungary are terrible.
Mm. Yeah.
I do like your bet, though. Norway and under 2.5 goals is 21 to 10. When you consider there are so few, I thought I might mention one. When you consider under 2.5 goals, 4 to 9.
Yeah, that looks
Norway
good.
And under 2.5, over 2 to 1, 21 to 10. And just one player worthy of mention for Norway as well from a goals perspective here, Alexander Tetti. He's 14 to 1 to score first, 14 to 1 last, and 11 to 2 anytime.
Headline writer's dream if he scores.
Yeah, he's got 3 in their last 6. He plays for Norwich. He's hardly prolific. He's only got 3 goals in 92 appearances for Norwich. The last 6 Norway goals, 3 have been scored by Tetti. So 11 to 2 could look a big price for him to get on the score sheet at any time.
I'm sure I've used his name in a very bad Twitter joke before.
You have used his name in a bad Twitter joke.
I think it was I pointed someone towards 2 great goals and I said, look at this one and then look at Titty's. It was probably better in written
I think
form.
I think it read better than it spoke there.
Which says a lot about it, doesn't it?
Let's move on. Let's have a look at Bosnia versus the Republic of Ireland, which is Friday night, 7:45. Bosnia, even money. The draw 21 to 10, and the Republic in the market at 16 to 5. Tough match for the Republic away from home against Bosnia, Lee, because they're without key personnel going into the first leg of this tie. Shea Given is injured. He's not made the trip. John O'Shea and John Walters are both suspended. And O'Shea's got a hamstring injury, so even though he's been included in the squad, he's unlikely to feature in the second leg either. They're also waiting, the Republic of Ireland, on the fitness of Shane Long, who led the line in that final group game against Poland. Bosnia probably underachieved slightly in their qualifying campaign, finishing behind Belgium and Wales. However, their home form in qualification, pretty strong. They lost once in their last 8 home games in all competitions and won 6 of those matches as well.
Yeah, indeed. I think they're a strong team. You know, the kind of your typical team who you say, yeah, you know, they'll be technically very good. I think you're right, though. I think they do underachieve. You know, maybe no one would have expected Wales to be quite as good as they ended up being. But, you know, this Bosnia team beat Wales 2-0. I think they're a talented team. A couple of players, or at least one player who definitely isn't playing here, and that's Bezic. He's banned for this game. Load of players on that final yellow card warning as well. The likes of Begovic, Zeko, Hadzic, Panic, and Suncic as well, all within a yellow card of a ban going into the reverse leg in Ireland. Tricky game this. Again, you know, away team going there, there's no way they're going to set up, from what we know about the Republic, to go and win this game. They'll look to keep it tight, try and do a job on them, and get away with a draw. They got a draw in Germany, let's not forget. They lost 2-1 to Poland in the end when O'Shea got sent off. I think they can go away and get a draw here, the Republic. I think they're well capable of doing that. And the fact that Bosnia do underachieve so much, you know, I wonder how much they'll attack and if they'll be able to break down this Republic team. When they beat Wales, Wales kept it tight till the 71st minute when Djuric opened the scoring. Ended up losing 2-0 with that last stoppage time goal from Bosnia. But, you know, drew 1-1 with Belgium, Bosnia, lost to Cyprus as well in the group, at home, that is. So I'm going to go for a plain old draw here, 21-10, and I wouldn't put anyone off the draw and under 2.5. I think Republic will go with a set game plan, make sure they're in the game, come the Dublin leg, and then they can hopefully get the home crowd behind them and have a right go, with players coming back as well for that return leg.
I was reading about this match, Derek, and reading quotes from Martin O'Neill, and he was talking in detail about the Republic of Ireland just staying in the tie, just staying in it, as if they're not going to be adventurous in the slightest here.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll score a goal in this game. It could potentially be 0-0 this match.
Well, it's a Martin O'Neill kind of tactic anyway, isn't it? Even in at the best of times. Yeah, so I think their ambition will be limited, and a draw is a major player here. I mean, the Irish deserve a bit of good luck, don't they, in playoffs? Remember that the last one? Was it the last time you were in the playoffs? That Thierry Henry on handball?
I think there's been one since. I know that in 2012 Bosnia lost to Portugal. I think the Republic qualified against Estonia to reach the final.
In fact, Bosnia have played to they've played Portugal in both their playoffs for major tournaments and lost them both. So Bosnia will just be pleased that it isn't Portugal.
Yeah,
remember they drew 0-0 at home and lost 6-2. Bosnia did in Portugal. That was for Euro 2012 when Ireland made it through.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, in fact, I remember that Irish one against the Thierry Henry business. You know, the Irish were so furious over that. They boycotted Henry Hoover's afterwards.
Yes.
That's how upset they were about it. Dublin Henry was known as Henri Leconte after that.
there was a vacuum in Irish football as well for a while, wasn't there, after that?
But when you look back at it, you wonder how the ref missed, you know, how could he miss that on ball? I mean, he was in his hands so long, I thought he was autographing it, I want to say.
which gives me another international story. I don't know if you know this, Derek, it's a little bit of a trivia question. I went to that the National Football Museum a few months back, and it's very good, very good visit in Manchester. And the 1966 World Cup ball is obviously there behind glass.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little all shriveled up, you know, as you'd expect. And you can pay for a guided tour, and I did that. And the guy said to me a little trivia question. He said, "Whose signature? There's one signature on this ball. You can't see it. We've turned it round, but there's one signature on this ball. Who is it?" And I'm guessing, you know, the obvious, you know, Sir Geoff Hurst, you know, whatever. It turns out it's Yuri Geller's. Yuri Geller's signature is on the 1966 World Cup winning football.
Right.
Because at Euro 96, the Daily Mirror did a campaign to get the ball back. It was the German player who scored first took the ball home, because it's tradition in Germany for the first goal scorer to take the ball, not a hat-trick hero.
Okay.
So Geoff Hurst never got it. There was a big campaign to get it back for Geoff Hurst, got it for Euro 96, and it was given to Yuri Geller. Because he was doing all his spoon bending stuff at that time.
Yeah.
He signed it. He thought he was supposed to sign it.
Bend it like Yuri.
So there you go, a little trivia question.
Good
Yuri
one.
Geller,
that's excellent. That is
1966 World Cup final ball.
That is a quiz question, that.
It's a fantastic. There's no one will ever get
like
that.
There's loads of gems like that at the Football Museum. Yeah. I'm not on commission. It's just a good visit.
Henri Leconte, I won't get over that in a while.
That's an amazing line.
I like that.
Well, as for this game, the draw looks nailed on. I mean, is it just called by it? It's Bosnia-Herzegovina, isn't it? I thought it was the Wonderbra model for about 4 years. I mean, Lee is right. They're decent in friendlies, Bosnia, but on the big dates, they flatter to deceive, pretty much like a Wonderbra. I'm going to go for the draw here. I think it's Bosnia will press and the Irish will just keep them at bay. And let's not forget, didn't Republic beat Germany in their last game? You know, we've got decent form going into this.
Yeah.
But as you say, Bosnia have thrown in some whoppers, bad results. And losing to Cyprus, you said, one or two others, they're not that great a side. The draw looks nailed on here.
The other thing is, if you're going on that idea of where did they finish in their groups, you can't forget where Republic finished in that group. You know, they two of the best teams in Europe, arguably,
yeah.
Poland and Germany, you know, in qualifying. So,
yeah, but yeah. Then again, Belgium and Wales, look where they are in the world rankings.
That's true, yeah. Whatever you think of
Belgium
that.
Are number one, aren't
yeah,
they? At the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah,
yeah. If you're looking at goal scorers, by the way, I know you two chaps both fancy the draw there, which is... a decent price, the draw at 21-10. Edin Dzeko 6-4 to score at home here. He's scored in three of Bosnia's last four at home, and he was on the mark in the derby at the weekend for Roma against Lazio. So worth having a look at Edin Dzeko at 6-4. Could I interest you in 0-0 at 13-2 then,
yeah,
Derek?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, I don't even think there'll be that many goals.
0-0, 13-2, possibly the player in Bosnia versus the Republic. Next up, it's the Ukraine against Slovenia. This one, 5 p.m. on Saturday. The Ukraine 4-7. The draw is 5-2. Slovenia in the betting at 6-1. Ukraine finished third in Group C behind Spain and Slovakia, while Slovenia came third in Group E, of course, behind England and Switzerland. Slovenia, Lee, weren't total washouts away from home in qualification. The only team they failed to score against away was Estonia. They beat Lithuania and San Marino, but both England and Switzerland got three against them at home. Ukraine versus Slovenia, and I think the Ukraine will be wary of Slovenia as well. They've yet to beat them in four games, two draws and two defeats, and lost out to them in the playoffs for a place at the Euros back in 2000. They haven't played each other for 15 years, though, these two sides.
No. Interestingly enough, that fixture that you mentioned there, it was a 1-1 draw when it was in the playoff for Euro 2000.
Yep.
16 years to the day that this game will be played.
Is that right?
And it's the same manager for Slovenia, Katanec. And he captained, his assistant captained the national team in that tie as well. So, you know, it's one of those where, you know, I'm sure the media is grasping hold of that. If this was a game in England, they'd be all over those little idiosyncrasies attached to this tie. Yeah, I mean, hard to get a handle on these two teams. Again, a little bit like kind of, you know, Bosnia. You think technically good, but they rarely show up and do anything spectacular. Remember, Slovenia lost to Estonia in their opening fixture, eventually came third behind England and Switzerland, of course, with Ukraine finishing behind Spain and Slovakia in their group. Bit of team news, Kucha and Stepanenko are both banned for this for Ukraine. As for their opponents, they're fully fit and ready to go. I think this is the trickiest one of the four to call, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, Ukraine have had a taste more recently of top international football, having hosted the tournament and getting there by that virtue. Only lost 1-0 to Spain, beat Luxembourg, beat Belarus. I mean, that's nothing much to write home about. I don't see many goals in this fixture at all. Again, I mean, Slovenia scored two in San Marino and did lose 3-2 to Switzerland, but I think that was more down to the Swiss style of football. I think the only team to score against England in the groups as well, but it was an own goal at Wembley. I'm going to go for, again, a pretty boring bet here and a pretty boring game, I think. I think that everyone will be so intent on not losing those first games. I think this is going to be a really tight game. So I'm going to have a look again at a low scorer. The under 2.5 is 1-2 here, which is well short.
Compilers are all over the fact that these opening round of fixtures in these two-legged ties are notoriously tight.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see why Ukraine are 4-7, given, you know, I think they may well be a better team, but I don't think they're that good that they can go and break down Slovenia when, you know, they haven't broken down that many, you know, decent teams. Only 1-0 against Macedonia, remember. Macedonia aren't anything to write home about. Lost 1-0 to Slovakia. So I think 5-2 for the draw is a decent price here. And if you're going to go for that, you may as well go 5-2 and under for the 5-2. You may as well go for the draw and under 2.5 if you're looking at that. I can't see it being a 2-2 draw.
I mean, everyone seems to think Ukraine is a tiny country, but England could fit into the Ukraine four times, as could you, Lee. I saw enough of Slovenia, too much, in fact, during the England qualifying campaign to realise that they're a very ordinary side. And I don't think you can say that about Ukraine. I'm massively surprised that Ukraine got such a bad head-to-head record against them. I can't work that one out at all. I've got to go for Ukraine here. I know they're short, but I'll be massively surprised if I remember a recent game Ukraine played against England, and for about 70 minutes they murdered England. I can't remember how it finished. I think it finished 1-1. Anyway, Ukraine for me. I think the good things here.
A lot's being made. You know, I read some quotes from the coach Fomenko, who doesn't sound like he should be the coach of Slovenia, but a lot's been made of the fact that they get that return leg at home. And he says, you know, I think we really got to take account of that. I think, you know, top international players should be able to defend. That's a given, you know, absolute given. You know, and I disagree in a way, Derek. I thought they were very solid without being spectacular against England. I thought they frustrated England more than most other teams did. And I'm not saying England are fantastic, but I think they could. I think they'll frustrate Ukraine here. I don't think Ukraine can break them down as easy as easy as 4-7 suggests.
You know, you mean, you're talking about your little known fact about the Wembley match ball. The 60s. Here's a little known fact about Slovenia: 70% of its population can speak two foreign languages. Now, Ali, a person who speaks three languages, what do you call them? So someone who speaks three languages, what?
Trilingual.
Someone who speaks two languages is what?
Bilingual.
And someone who speaks only one language is? English. so glad to shoehorn that one in.
The Ukraine are 4-7 to win this match. The draw 5-2. Slovenia 6-1. Derek, you're with the Ukraine.
Ukraine, yeah. I like the Ukraine. I think they're on an underrated side.
Lee,
draw.
Draw 5-2, and we finish with the qualifiers, the two-legged affairs with Sweden versus Denmark, a Nordic battle on Saturday night, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Sweden 13-10, draw 21-10, Denmark 23-10. Headline offers: Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Sweden to win is 7-2. Nicholas Bentner to score and Denmark to win is 7-1. This is the tie of the qualifiers, this one, Derek. And Sweden come into the back of it on a couple of 2-0 wins. That wasn't enough to reel in Austria and Russia, who automatically qualified from Group G, whereas Denmark finished third in Group I behind Portugal and Albania. They only managed 3 wins in the group, though, Denmark. And given that Serbia and Armenia were whipping boys in that group, not good enough.
Oh, finishing behind Albania is bad enough, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, what you mentioned in the intro there, Dave, Sweden can call on Zlatan Ibrahimovic and the main Dane is Nicholas Bentner. Enough said, isn't it? I mean, Ibrahimovic, he plays for Paris Saint-Germain and he wants to be staying in Paris next summer for the finals. He doesn't want to go back to Sweden to hoover up termites with his hooter. I just think Sweden are good things here. Remember, the background to this game, of course, we know what it'll be. Remember 10 or 11 years ago, 2004? When both teams could knock out Italy in, was it the 2004 Euros? If they finished 2-2, you know, and all the ballyhoo before the game. No, the integrity of the game is at stake. Blah blah blah. Final score 2-2. I mean, it was the most certain scoreline of all time. Skullduggery wasn't so much a foot as a mile. And you know, I remember that day. You know, the 2-2 draw normally 16-1. It was 7-2 that day. 7-2. Can you imagine
7-2.
That? 7-2. I know. Anyway, it's Sweden for me. I think Denmark are a desperately ordinary side, and Sweden on home soil is not many teams get a result there.
They've got a rich history against each other, these two nations as well. Met 104 times in total. Sweden have won 45, and Denmark have won 40. And Sweden back in 92, Euro 92, when Denmark won the tournament, Sweden were the only side to beat them in that campaign. Intriguing match, this. Enjoy this one, I think.
Yeah, it should be good. And Sweden come into it in good form, too. 2-0 wins, only lost once in 5 home qualifiers. I mean, I know you guys rightfully point out that Denmark didn't win many, but they only lost 1 away from home. However, they didn't score in the last 2 games of the qualifying group.
Last three games, I think it was.
Was it last three, was it?
Yeah, I don't think they got a goal in the last three.
I have to agree with Derek. I have to be with Sweden here. I think, you know, 13-10 seems a big price against Denmark to me at home. Notwithstanding the fact that, as usual, you know, I think Denmark will go there and keep it tight and it'll be a good game. But again, you know, Derek mentioned Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I mean, he's third highest scorer in qualifiers. We know what quality he's got. We know how good he is. He's a talisman for his country. And you look at the list of names, all right, good players in there, but he is head and shoulders above everyone else on the pitch there. Maybe, you know, Christian Eriksen, very good player, obviously, but I think he will dominate this two-legged tie. He's a booking away from a ban, by the way, so he'll have to be careful. But I think 13-10 for him to score is a cracking price as well. I think he's in that ilk of player, your Suarez, your Messi, your Ronaldo. Maybe he's not quite at their level, but I think if you get in a price like that, on any patch of grass, you've got to have a little go at him. So 13-10 for Ibrahimovic if you don't want to touch the outrights. But I'll go with the headline offer. Ibrahimovic to score and Sweden to win, 7-2.
Superb. Chaps, let's move on to the international friendlies then. Derek, we'll look at the England match first of all. Derek? Derek?
Where's he gone?
Derek?
He can't just hang up, surely.
I think he's just gone.
He hasn't just hung up, surely.
I think he's just hung up. As soon as I said England.
cleared.
He has. Brilliant.
There goes Derek.
Can we do it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. He doesn't like the friendlies, does he?
Nah, he's
Who
not
can
keen,
blame
is he?
Him? Who can blame him?
I like him.
You like him?
I just like draws.
Spain versus England. We'll have a look at this one first. Thank you to Mr. McGovern, who's been a stalwart. I mean, he came up with some good lines today. Wow. Spain versus England.
We might have to take the Ukraine one out.
Yeah, perhaps
politically
so.
Sensitive.
Spain 8-11. The draw 5-2. England 4-1. This is a 7:45 p.m. kickoff on Saturday night. The headline offers Diego Costa to score and Spain to win is 3-1. Raheem Sterling to score and England to win. 14-1, proper test for England this one. I know they went unbeaten or without losing, winning every single match in the qualification campaign, total of 30 points. But this is a real test against the Spanish. Even though Spain have got a few players that are out, David Silva, of course, hasn't been playing for Manchester City. He'll miss this game. Diego Costa's not been in top form. They're likely maybe to start with Alvaro Morata up front. I think England will have to be at full throttle to get anything against Spain.
Yeah, I do as well. I wonder, it'd be interesting to see how he approaches it, won't it? Whether he uses it as a pure test of how they come up against a team like this in a tournament. That's what he should do.
That's what he should do.
He should set up, you know, how are you going to play this game if we're in a quarterfinal of the European Championships next summer? And I think that's what he will do. You know, go back to what he does away from home in European competitions as a club manager. He's solid, hard to beat, and resolute. I think that's how they'll set up here. Now, have they got the counter-attacking skill? Will Spain allow them, you know, the chance to counter-attack? We could be in for a bit of a boring match here. You know, Spain keeping the ball, England being very resolute and very strong in defence in midfield, and neither team, Spain not attacking enough and not being able to break England down because they haven't got the... Why would they want to? It's a friendly. What, have they actually got that 100% effort that they really want to get stuck into England? And England not having the gaps because Spain aren't attacking to counter-attack in the right way.
Yeah.
If Derek was here, and not only would he be having a right pop at Diego Costa, he'd also be telling us that you cannot go for anything other than a draw in a friendly because... there's no reason for either team to go out there and win the game. There's not enough desire, I don't think, in that. You know, these players are in the middle of serious Premier League, you know, and international seasons. Have they really got that absolute effort to go and do it? I don't think so. I mean, I've put up quite a few draws on the podcast today, but I think this is another one. I really do. And, you know, look, you might be able to argue that England at 4-1 is a decent price given their record, but this is a major step up in class, isn't it?
A massive step up in class.
And can they cope? We've seen from England that they can't really cope with, you know, breaking a team down like Spain. You know, it'd be fantastic to see England go out there, close the space down, put Spain under pressure, and go for it. I just can't see it under Hodgson. I really can't.
Do you think he'll play Wayne Rooney?
Yeah. Unless he's resting him for any other reason. You know, unless he's resting him because he's got a knock or any other reason, I'd be amazed if he doesn't play them against Spain. You know, that'd create more adverse headlines that he doesn't really need. I think he should play Kane and Vardy up front,
yeah,
personally. But, you know, Vardy's 16-5 to score. Comes on a sub, maybe. Might be a good super sub game if you think there is going to be a goal. You know, because I doubt Rooney would last the whole match if he does play him. 14-5 Rooney to score at any time. Then you probably get Vardy as your super sub.
Maybe
there,
so.
Wouldn't you?
You expect Kane to lead the line then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
With Rooney in behind him.
I wouldn't mind if it was Vardy or Kane, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
But I think given the way Hodgson's fairly safe, isn't he, and fairly secure, he doesn't take too many risks. I wonder if he'd throw Vardy in straight away. It'd be great if he did, though, just to give him a bit of a reward for the season he's had so far.
Will you be watching this match?
Nah, I doubt it. Not the whole 90 minutes.
Highlights.
Yes, definitely highlights.
If there are,
it's the only way to watch international football, isn't it?
Yeah, I find it tedious, in all honesty. I know it's something we reference on the podcast and we have a little bit of a joke about it, but some of the matches...
But I do think from a betting point of view...
They're played at half pace a lot of the time.
From a betting point of view, though, because they're not full tilt, I think you can get a bit of an angle on it. It's, you know, I'd be less inclined to have put a bet up if I knew that both teams were going for it. I wouldn't be quite sure, but given that, I don't think they'll be going for it.
I think you get more of a feeling in play on these international matches. If you are watching them,
very true.
You know quickly which side is at a higher intensity than the other side in some of these matches.
Yeah.
Not so much in the matches we just talked about, the qualification
they're
playoff matches, because they're huge.
Yeah.
But these matches, I think both teams will feel each other out maybe for the first half hour, and you'll know quickly if there's one team, one nation that's got a higher intensity than the other late on in the match. So something to look at definitely in play in that match.
Absolutely agree.
Wales versus Holland is the other match Saturday night involving a home nation. Wales are 16-5 to win this friendly. The draw 9-4 and Holland 19-20. I suppose Holland do have something to play for, because after that such a disappointing qualification campaign, they have to show that they are a team that are still to be reckoned with in the future on the European scene, because it's such a disaster for them to miss out on qualification.
Absolutely, yeah.
They can't go out and treat this as a friendly, in my opinion. And they've got a good opportunity against Wales, because Wales will be without Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey,
yeah,
who aren't involved at Cardiff City Stadium on Saturday night. And Wales will be looking to players like Sam Vokes, Simon Church, Hal Robson-Kanu to come in and pick up the mantle. But we know that their qualification campaign was built solely around the qualities of Gareth Bale.
Absolutely.
No one's denying that.
No, not at all. And it's an entirely different team. Holland, odds on.
It's short, isn't it? That's the problem. I think Holland will win the game.
Do you?
I do think Holland will win the game, but I wouldn't
want to be involved. I think every game this weekend is going to be a draw.
Yes.
Literally every game. Holland lost to Iceland, Turkey and the Czech Republic in that qualifying campaign.
Yeah.
You're right, though. I think there will be some desire to go and patch things up and make up for it, but is there a desire? I think there'd be more desire through at home than away.
You
can't see
so
many Dutch fans making the trip to Wales.
No.
For
I think there'll be more. They'll be the Dutch people will be more interested in this result than we will be in Spain versus England.
Probably, yeah. But I do think you have to take into account Wales without Bale and Ramsey.
Yeah.
I don't think though. I think if you're a player in that team, DK, and you know that everyone thinks that, because Gareth Bale's not there, that's it. You're no good. I think that'll spur them on. I think we'll see, and I think we'll see more passion from Wales and more desire from Wales than we'll see from England as well to actually get a result. Let's not forget this is in front of their home fans, and there will still be a party atmosphere. Welsh football's on the crest of a wave. You know, the fact they've qualified, it'll be like another chance to have a party here, I think. So I think it'll be a really big deal. You know, I think there'll be a big round of applause for the manager. I think they'll milk that. And I think he'll set them up again. Use this. What if Gareth Bale's injured at Euro 2016?
Mm.
There is a chance of that. You know, it's not like he's superhuman. So how would you play this game if you didn't have Gareth Bale? That's how he'll approach this, I think. So I think again, another low scorer. I think Holland will be nervous. I don't think they'll be going out there and looking to absolutely batter Wales. I think they'll be looking to rebuild, and you don't rebuild by suddenly just going out there and trying to smash teams to bits. I think this will be a cagey game, both from Wales and from Holland, for different reasons. I don't see a lot of goals in this game at all. I could see under 2.5 easy. Tricky on the on whether you go for either team to win it though. I'd be struggling a little bit on that, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think I'll just play the. I don't think we've got under 2.5
at the moment.
At the minute, have we?
No.
But I think I'd be playing that. It'd be interesting to see what the price is like. But I'd play under 2.5. And if, again, sorry to be like a stuck record here, but if forced on the result, it'd have to be a draw again.
Okay. The draw there are 9-4. And shall we finish quickly with Northern Ireland versus Latvia?
Why not?
Which is, I missed this one. Northern Ireland versus Latvia is a 2 p.m. kickoff. We usually do these in chronological order, don't we? But not on this occasion. Northern Ireland 13-20 to win the game. This is available live on William Hill TV, this match as well.
Wow.
The draw 23-10, Latvia 9-2. Got to publicise these sort of things.
No, absolutely.
Michael O'Neill's men, of course, incredible achievement to reach the Euro 2016 finals in France. Will they treat this as a celebration of having got there, or will they look to go and continue that momentum and smash a few past Latvia?
Good question, because the manager had them going at it, didn't he? He never let them celebrate, even when people were saying, they're qualified. Unlike the Wales situation, and look, they got there in the end, it's all fine, but he never really let them off the leash.
So not at all.
Absolutely, you could be fully justified in being let off the leash here. I mean, they've turned into a fantastic tournament team, i.e. qualifying for tournaments. Shocking friendly record. Looking for their first win in a friendly since 2008.
Is that right?
Which is outrageous, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
And I don't know, you know, I'm not quite sure, you know, why that is. What, you know, because, all right, maybe they have just turned into a decent team. One thing that I could say, they haven't had many home games in their friendlies. They played Qatar and drew 1-1, which is a shocker, admittedly. The previous home game before that was in August of 2012, when they drew 3-3 with Finland. In that time, they've been to Malta, Turkey, Cyprus, Uruguay, Chile, and Scotland, or they've played away games against those teams. So maybe you might argue, well, they haven't played that many. But even going back, you know, they've lost to Hungary, they've drawn with Israel, they've lost to Serbia, drawn with Morocco. They don't seem to really get up for it, do they? So again, it's hard to be back in Northern Ireland at 13-20,
yes.
Despite the fact that Latvia, if we think about Holland wanting to resurrect their international status, well, that's what Latvia are trying to do here. They're starting again, finished bottom of Group A. So they're looking now to build a team, looking for the World Cup qualifiers. So I think they'll be tricky to beat. I could have just recorded one bit at the start going, I think this will be a draw, and gone with that.
Yeah, you've gone for draw in every game, haven't you?
Yeah, I won't go for draw in this one, though. We've got a favourite player here that we like to back for Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Gareth McCauley.
This
is made for Gareth McCauley. Horrible, horrible, stinky game. Latvia being really hard to break down. Lo and behold, 88th minute, he pops up, set piece, bang, goal, 1-0.
Gareth McCauley to score any time at 11-2. Enjoy the international football, folks, this weekend. I hope you've enjoyed the Punt podcast. David McGovern, superb for the four qualifiers, and Mr. Lee Phelps for all seven matches we previewed on the podcast. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you to you for listening, of course, and thanks to David McGovern again for his contribution. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter at dkellner, at Lee Phelps, and at BetLikeAPro, and myself, Lee, and Derek will be back for the Premier League weekend. Next weekend it's back, which is good news. Remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill, or you can get us on iTunes as well. And myself, Lee, and Derek back next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.